Well, this is a unique meeting, to say the least, and I had been planning for a long time to get some information together on the spiritual warfare for several reasons. Number one, everywhere that I go to preach it, lives change. People find out where their problems come from. Now, let me explain that to you just a minute. And I want you to keep in mind now that I am speaking in the frame of reference and in the context of Christianity. By that I simply mean I am speaking to people who are indeed the children of God. Now, a man that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, the Word of God teaches irrefutably that that man is condemned, is the child of hell, and is demon-possessed. You see, we have a mindset that makes us think that a demon-possessed man is maniacal, that is a maniac, and we put him in an institution. Well, that's not so. The devil has sense enough to know that if he takes all of his children and makes them maniacal, they're going to be put out of circulation because we'll institutionalize them. Or they'll do something that causes us to put them out of circulation. But the Word of God teaches in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, that the spirit of disobedience now worketh in the children of disobedience. Every lost person is demon-possessed. But that is not the primary work of demons. The primary work of the devil and demons is to harass and intimidate the children of God. And very few of God's children know why they have the problems they have, do not understand where the problems are coming from. And furthermore, fewer of the children of God know what to do about it once they understand that this is just what the devil is doing to men. This is just the problems that I'm having to undergo as a child of God. So every time I've preached this in my crusades and revival meetings, there have always been lives changed. And of course, every person with whom I share it individually and privately, there's always a cataclysmic change in their life, as was in my own life. I have had to learn this and experience this in my own life. And it is a constant struggle. And I want to tell you folks that are here in the meeting listening, and everybody that's going to be listening to the tape, now listen carefully to this statement. If you do not intend to stand fast in the faith and use the information that you're going to receive as you sit here tonight or as you listen to these tapes, if you don't intend to use it, you might ought to leave right now and wait outside or wait in the car or shut your tape recorder off and not listen. Because once a child of God comes to be informed about the devil's devices and understands where his problem is and where his trouble is coming from, the devil intensifies his attack on that child of God and will relentlessly pursue that Christian, seeking to cause that Christian to stop steadfastly resisting him in the faith. You see, the Bible says that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. But you see, that does not mean just a one-shot proposition. There's a continuing article in the Greek that literally says that when you resist and resist and resist and just keep on resisting and make up your mind you're not ever going to quit resisting, eventually, then the demons of hell will flee from you. The devil will flee from you. But in another place, the Bible says that you must resist the devil in the faith. Now, a lot of people think they're resisting the devil, but they are not resisting the devil in the faith because they don't understand what it means to resist him in the faith. Now, in these series of lectures and in this study, I plan to tell you how you can resist the devil in the faith. But now, let me go back to my original concept, and that is simply this. Your troubles, your difficulties, are the result of the attack of your enemy. Now, let this sink clearly into your mind, all right? Really let it sink in. Now, I'm not going to have time to tell you to take your Bibles, open your Bibles, and go to this particular scripture. Now, I have, I think, four verses of scripture written on the board up here that I think are the basis for everything I'm going to say, and I will refer to those in a little while. But one of the reasons people listen to tapes and one of the reasons people read books and go hear preachers preach is because they want to be spoon-fed. I discovered this some time ago, And very few of God's children want to dig truth out of the Bible for themselves. Now, I ask people sometimes, do you think I'm more intelligent than you? Do you think I have more sense than you have? Am I smarter than you? Well, of course not. The difference in you and me at this particular moment, in this particular subject, is I have sought for the truth out of the Word of God, and evidently, obviously, you have not. And the Spirit of God has shared it with me, and I want Him to share it with you. Now, I don't mean that to insult you. What I'm simply saying is this. Don't wait for somebody to give you scripture, text, verse, read it to you there. You just absorb it like a spiritual sponge. Take the truths I'm going to tell you, and then check them out by the scripture. And through your Bible study, you will cement the truth in your mind. You follow me? Now, that's my reasoning behind it. Because you see, folks, now, if I'm going to have to convince you that the devil is real, I don't want to monkey with you. If I'm going to have to convince you that demons are real, let's call them eating off. Anybody listening to these tapes, I am not putting these tapes together in order to convince a Christian that demons are real and that the devil is a reality. No, I wouldn't even waste my time. There's too many people that want to believe. There's too many people who have no doubts for me to waste my time with people who have doubts. Now, I don't mean that to be a smart aleck now or arrogant. I'm just being honest about it. So therefore, I'm not going to validate and nail down everything I say at that moment by the Word of God. But through the entire series, we are going to nail it down by the Word of God, because I'll do a lot of scripture quotation that I'm going to expect you to go back and get later. Now, here comes one of them. Now, listen to this. And you find out where it is, and read it and study it for yourself and meditate it. Meditate upon it. Now, that's where a lot of God's children are making a mistake. They don't meditate upon the law of God. They don't read the Word of God and then think about it. Think about it. Think about it. That's where a lot of God's children are making a mistake. You have to think the Word of God. It's just like philosophy. Somebody said to me, did you really study philosophy in college? I said, yes, that was my major. Did you really study? I said, no, you think it. You don't study philosophy. You think it. And you don't study the scriptures. You think it. You read it, believe it, think it. And then it becomes a reality in your life. Now listen to what the scripture says. God tempts, and that word tempts, tempt means to test. God tests no man of evil. Now that settles that issue. Don't argue about that. Evil is not of God. Now it may be by God's permission. It may be by God's interpretive intent. It may be by God's extended purpose. But any time any kind of evil comes on anybody's life, God did not do it. Now listen carefully to that one more time. God tempts no man of or with evil. But, says the scripture, when a man is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust. Now let me define the word lust for you. First of all, the word lust does not confine itself to sexuality or sexualism. The word lust, that includes that, but the word lust means any kind of unlawful desire. Any kind of a selfish intent of heart. Anything that you want, so much so that it's controlling you, is a lust. Now, that's what the word lust means. But now the writer said, when a man is tempted, he is drawn away of. Now the article of literally means because of or by virtue of. Now, what does that drawn away mean? It means to be pulled, doesn't it? Well, now, for anybody to be drawn, there has to be a force field, doesn't there? For anything to be drawn, there has to be a force field. Now, when I think about being drawn, I don't have a mechanical mind. I don't have an electronic mind. I was raised partially in the country. Most of my life I spent in the city, but I was raised some in the country. Now, Bob Bolin back there, when he was signed to a major league contract, he was out plowing. And I suspect that Bob can remember the name of the horse, or more than likely a mule. What was it, Bob? A horse or a mule? Can you remember the name of the mule?
Eller.
Who?
Old Eller.
Eller? All right. Now, old Eller was pulling that plow, right? That plow was being drawn by a force, right? Eller was the force. All right. Now, the writer is telling us that when we are tested, we are drawn. And God said, I'm not doing it. God tempts no man of evil. But when you are tempted of evil, you are being drawn. Something is doing it. God said, I'm not doing it, so what does that leave? Well, now, modern-day theologians trying to deny a literal devil, modern-day theologians trying to skirt the issue of the activity of demons say, well, that's just the old human nature. That's just the old flesh nature. No, no, that's not either, my dear friend. This flesh, the Lord Jesus said, you are either of your father God or of your father the devil. And whatever you either do because of the good impulses of the Lord or because of the evil impulses of your heavenly father. Our Lord said to us, if God were your heavenly father, you would love me and you would keep my commandments. Conversely, if the devil is your father, then you obey his impulses. Now, the temptation and the trial of evil that comes your way is the result of the devil. It is the devil that is pulling at you and leading you astray. Now then, why does he do it? He does it because of your lust, because of your unlawful desire. And I can put that in a capsule just as neatly. I can package that up just as neatly as I've ever packaged up anything in my life. Here it is. Anytime that you start wanting your way, you are in trouble. Now, folks, you better believe what I'm telling you. Anytime you start wanting your way, you are in trouble. In my life, when I want my comforts, my marriage suffers. When I want my comforts, my family relationship suffers with my children. When I want my convenience, my neighborhood relationships suffer. When I want things to go my way, I become irritable with the public. When I want things to go for my sake, that's when I start griping and grumbling about everything around me. And when I start getting wrapped up in selfishness, that's when I open up the door for this force to draw me away from godliness. Now, that's why the Word of God says to deny the ungodly lust of the flesh. The Lord told you to deny your flesh and to say no to your desires and not do what you wanted to do for your sake. It was so that you would not suffer, and it was so that you would not have to go through the anguish of the attack of the devil and the work of demons. So, now there is where the trouble comes from. And you can just write it out. I know what some of you are thinking. Now, Sam, you mean to tell me you believe that everything that has ever happened to me that's bad, the devil did? No, I don't mean that. Because that would get us off into a theological tailspin that we may never come out of. Because, you see, the mind of man cannot comprehend the ways of God. They're past finding out, the Bible says. I'm not going to say that everything that ever happened to you, the devil did it. But I am going to say to you, whenever something ugly and bad and troublesome and bothersome happens to you, just go on and give the devil credit for it. And if he did do it, you're on your way to whipping him. And if he didn't do it, you'll make him mad, and either way, you're going to win. That's exactly my attitude about it. That's exactly my philosophy regarding it. All right, now, I'm going to treat you a little bit elementary here, but I won't spend much time with it. The first thing I want to raise is, who is the devil? Now, a lot of people wonder about that. Well, now, the Scripture is very clear. I will help you enough to tell you you'll find most of this in Isaiah. Don't find it now, but just remember this. The devil was the Lord God's number one angel. And he had a will. And he had a capacity to exercise that will. And somehow, beyond my comprehension, this angel wanted to overthrow God and establish himself as God. And I don't know how he did it. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Isn't that going to be exciting to get to heaven and ask all those questions that we're going to want to ask of God when we get to heaven? Now, I don't know how he did it. But this angel rallied a whole lot of other angels around him. The Bible says they're more numerous than the sands of the sea. And they tried to overthrow God. Well, of course, you know that God defeated him instantly and cast him out of heaven. And he cast him in to this atmosphere, into this area where we're living. And he became the son of the morning. He became the fallen angel known as Lucifer. Now, that's who the devil is. And the Bible says he is the prince of this world. The Bible makes no bones about it. The devil is the prince of this world. And the world order and the world system is under the control of the devil. And I'm fighting an urge right now to take off on one of those tangents that I've been focusing my attention on for the last few months as I've been speaking to conventions across the nation in regard to this world order trying to glamorize God. Now, the devil is doing something right now. I'm going to have to say just a word or two about it. The devil is doing something right now that is the most damaging and the most threatening thing I have ever witnessed in all of my life. Now, the devil has tried to destroy Christianity theologically and failed. He's tried to do it denominationally and failed. He tried to do it polemically and failed, which is a phobic word which means we fuss within ourselves, among ourselves. And I said from the pulpit of this church not long ago that the move of the devil now is going to be to discredit the cause of Christ on the grounds of morality. And I've written a paper recently that some of our editors are publishing. Others don't have enough nerve to do it. I call it Hallelujahs Without Holiness. People saying, I'm saved, but their lifestyle is still indigenous to the world. They still love the world, just like this fellow in Oklahoma City. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I read it in the paper this morning, and I want to leave it out. Everything I read in the paper is not necessarily so. I've been misquoted so many times, I'm shell-shocked. But now, I read in the paper where this man purportedly said, after I got saved, I got so sick of cigarette smoke and drinking that I just opened up my own nightclub and called it a gospel nightclub. But the man was selling securities without registering with the Securities and Exchange Commission and knew that he was in violation of the law. Immoral and unethical. Same thing is true with this so-called conversion of Larry Flint. Now, you can believe what you want to believe, but that's a farce. That is a smokescreen. It's all a fake and a fraud, and it's all a trick of the devil. Now, I know that takes a lot of nerve for me to say that, and some of you may have been saying, oh, that's just so wonderful that Larry Flint is saved. No, folks, when you get saved, you're made new. You have a new sense of values. You don't love the things of the world. And Larry Flint's idea of being saved is, instead of just showing naked women now, he's going to show naked men also. Larry Flint's idea of being saved is buying the Plains newspaper, and I just came from Georgia State Convention, and I saw the first edition of the Plains newspaper, and the centerfold of that newspaper shows a motif, a big picture of a montage-type picture, and up at the top it shows Mahatma Gandhi. And then it shows a black Jesus Christ, and then out in the forefront it shows Ruth Carter Stapleton holding a little child, and down in the corner it shows some other kind of religious gargoyle that blows my mind. And all I can see in it is demonism. And I know what the devil is attempting to do, and if some voices are not raised to show it, we're going to be in trouble. I mean to tell you, we're going to be in trouble. The devil is seeking to put prominent people in the forefront as born-again believers and get the idea of born again and I am saved a laughingstock across this America. And you're going to see it in less than one decade. Anybody that says, I'm saved, are going to be laughed at on campuses, in offices, and wherever you go. You say, well, man, that happens to us now. Oh, you don't have any idea what it's going to be like. You don't have any idea. There's going to be persecution brought to bear on those who claim to be saved, because every time you say you're saved, people are going to think immediately that you're a fake, that you're a fraud, that you're a shyster, and that you're a con artist, because that's exactly what's going on in the public eye across America today. And it's all a part of the work of the devil, the work of the demons, this prince of the air. He's in control of this world order. Now, Jesus knew that, and Jesus made the statement that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Now, folks, you better make this a rule of thumb. Now, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. And if you really want God to smile on you, and if you want God to bless you, you better find out what the Bible says is the way of life of a believer, and you better make up your mind that you're going to live that lifestyle without compromise. Because this world, even though it says they believe in God, and even though they say we believe in Jesus Christ, their lifestyle is to say, well, what's wrong with? And then they start naming all of the things that the Bible says is sinfulness. For instance, we're at the place already where there's more divorces than there are marriages. Almost every television program you watch, there is a subtle suggestion that people ought not have to get married in order to live together. almost every show that you look at on television now is the same thing that I stopped going to picture shows when I was in my early teens, like when I graduated from high school when I was 18 years old, 1952, spring of 1952. I cemented my convictions that Hollywood had nothing else to offer me, and I've stayed away from that. And the things that I started staying away from in Hollywood, now then are on my television screen, and we're coming to the place in our home that there's very little that we're going to watch on television because of the adverse influence on your mind. You see, what you feed your mind on is what you're going to become. As a man thinketh in his heart, that simply means the center of his being, whether it's intellect or emotion, so is he. You will become what you think about. You will become what you think about. So you better be careful. Now, you can be drawn away by these evil influences that are brought to bear on you. Now, that's where the devil came from. He was cast out of heaven, and all of the angels that followed him and was a part of that heaven or devilish conspiracy in heaven, all those angels followed. All right, now, what are demons? Well, first of all, a demon is not a little gargoyle or a little spook. A demon is not a little elf. A demon is not a little haint. I'm serious. The very word itself from the Greek, I'm not going to try to impress you by saying it, but the very Greek word that is translated demon, not diabolos, that's the Greek word for the devil. And the majority of the times that you see in the Bible, devil, the Greek word, diakomanos, is demons. Not devil, not diabolos, diakomanos, demons. You know what that word literally translated means? Spook? A ghost? Hang on, folks. That word literally translated means an intelligent being. That's what the word demon literally means. But everybody wants to create a fixation of spookiness with it. But I want you to know something. Demons are just as real as are heavenly angels. You see, demons are satanic angels. But I want you to know something. Demons are just as real as are heavenly angels. You see, demons are satanic angels. They were at one time angels in heaven. And now then they have fallen from their lofty estate, and they are under the dominion of Lucifer or Satan, the beguiler, the father of lies. They are under him, and they have to do what he says to do because he has the absolute control and authority over them. He has absolute authority over them, so they have to do what he says to do. Now, the word demon means intelligent being. So get that in your mind, first of all. Otherwise, you're going to discredit the idea of demons. Now, who are or what are these demons? They are fallen angels who followed Lucifer, and they are out there in the atmosphere, numberless. We have no idea how many they are. But I'm going to tell you some things as we go on in this study that is going to startle you. I'm going to tell you some things I have found out by actual conversation with demons. You say, how in the world did you do that? Well, I have had demonic controlled people, total strangers, come to me at airport terminals, for instance, and threaten my life. I've had people write letters to me that I knew was demonic, and that it was not the individual getting a message to me, but that it was the devil trying to get a message to me to get me to be afraid. I have dealt with people in a deliverance ministry where I encountered demons in their life. I have prayed with people where the demons were so stirred up that they cursed out against me and talked with me, and it's incredible the information I have found out about the activity of demons, and I'll respond to some of that because I know that you're going to have some questions about that, and you can ask them later on. If you ask them at the wrong time, I'll tell you just to hold it, and we'll give you that opportunity to do it later. Now, what my purpose in that is, I think that you folks are going to be a cross-section of the most of the people that will be listening to the tape, and your questions, more than likely, will be most of the questions that anybody else will ask as they listen to the tapes. And you latecomers, I've instructed everybody to write your questions down for fear that you will forget them, and I will give you a time when my timekeeper tells me so. I'll give you a time to ask some questions, and I'll field them. All right, now, what are these demons doing? These demons are on a constant 24-hour surveillance of the people of God. Now, they don't monkey with the devil's craft. The devil already has his people under control. All it takes is one demon to control a lost man. But now, the devil, the Bible says, and this is one of those scriptures right there, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. In the 8th verse of 1 Peter 5, the Bible says, "The devil, like a roaring lion, walketh up and down on the face of the earth, seeking whom he may devour." Well, now, the word devour does not mean to eat up. The word devour means to intimidate or harass. The devil is walking up and down on the face of the earth, seeking whom he may intimidate or whom he may harass. And that's what he wants to do, is to intimidate the children of God. Now, why does he want to do that? Are you that important to him? Oh, no. The devil doesn't give the snap of his fingers for you. He's not a bit interested in you. Do you know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants to get you in a frame of mind or in a lifestyle that is a besmirch and a disgrace to the Son of God. Now, that's all the devil wants to do. And he'll lie to you, and he'll create circumstances in your life. He will bring forces to bear in your life. He will expose you to principles that are not true. He will let you admire somebody who is embracing false doctrine to get you to go along with what they believe and what they have to say in order to be caught in the snare of the fowler. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. And he does this through his demons. Now let me prove that to you by that scripture, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Now that scripture tells us this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now let me stop there just long enough to say this. Do you think that your wife is your problem? You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you think your husband is your problem? You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you think your children is your problem? You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you think that your circumstances are your problem? You wrestle not against flesh and blood. You think your boss is your problem? You wrestle not against flesh and blood. You think your neighbor is your problem? You wrestle not against flesh and blood. But I'm going to make you a promise. If you were to sit there right now and analytically look at all of your difficulties, invariably you would pinpoint some body, emphasis on the body, please. You would emphasize flesh and blood as being the thing that's made you upset and made you unhappy and made you grievous or vexed you or made you sorely distressed. And the Word of God plainly says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your problem is not humanism. Somebody get after you, somebody cuss you out, that's not your problem. Somebody treat you ugly, somebody lie on you, somebody steal from you, somebody take advantage of you, somebody hate you, somebody treat you ugly, somebody do you wrong, so what? They're just the instruments in the hand of the person that's really after you. You see, you don't struggle against flesh and blood. Somebody asked me one time, said, "Sam, how do you deal with your enemies?" I said, "I don't have any." "Ah, now you've got it." I said, "No, I don't. Don't have any enemies." And this guy said, "Now, I've been where you've preached, and you can go where you preach and call your name and folks either smile or spit." And I said, "Well, I know that. But they're not my enemies." He said, "Okay, what do you mean?" I said, "I have an enemy." And I said, "When I discovered that, I began on the trip of learning how to get along with people. But you see, I used to flare back at folks, and I used to be, I'm still pretty mean, but I'm not near as mean as I used to be." You know why? Because I am learning steadily that people are not my problem. I'm not my problem. Psychiatrists say, "Well, now if you know yourself, you can get along just fine." No, when you know yourself, you just hate it. If you ever really get to know yourself, the great philosopher said, "Know thyself." You know thyself and you'll just be disgusted. Like that lady said to me, "I don't like you." And I said, "I don't blame you. I'm sincere. I don't blame one of my friends. I don't blame any of my relatives. My brother-in-law, Charles Marson, is sitting back there. If he didn't like me, I wouldn't blame him one bit. I know more about me than he does, and I don't like me. There's things about me I can't stand." And when you get honest and look at yourself like you really are, you won't like what you see either in regard to you. See, I don't wrestle against me. See, everything in me that's bad is because I've made provision for my flesh. Everything about my personality that's ugly, everything about my personality that people don't like, it is there Because either I have let the demons work on me, or the person that doesn't like that about me is letting the demons work on them, or both. Could be both of them, see. All right, my time is up. And I'm going to let you ask some questions, but let me finish this one comment first. The devil sends the demons out to attack you. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but you wrestle against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of the air. Now, who are they? These are the demons to which I refer. The devil is singular, but the Bible says you wrestle against. You do wrestle. Now, you do know that, don't you? Now, don't ever think that you're going to get to the place that's not going to be any more struggle. And that's exactly what a lot of Christians want. Oh, Lord, get me to the place where I just don't have any more troubles. And a lot of people are trying to serve God just so they can get a bed of ease. A lot of people really think that if they'll just serve God, they'll have no more troubles. And that's why they're serving God. And they're just coming out on the short end of the stick because God knows the motive. Now, folk, listen carefully to me. The Bible says, after you have suffered a while, the Lord will establish, strengthen, and settle you. You say, well, how long is a while? In my case, it was 10 years. I went through hell backwards for 10 years before I learned some things about what was going on in my own life. It's all up now, and I thank the Lord for it, and I'm on my way. But it took a long time to learn some things that I'm sharing with other people around the country. And I just discovered these things myself in latter part of 1969 and 1970. Now, I'm not talking about learning about demons. I learned about death, the demons, back in 1958, but I learned the principle of who your problem is. Your problem is not you, and your problem is not your neighbor. Your problem are demons. The Bible says principalities, that's plural. Rulers, that's plural. Powers, that's plural. The workers, that's plural, of the darkness of the air. The devil is singular, so who are the workers of the darkness of the air? The demons that are under the dominion and the control and the charge of the devil. And I'll say at the conclusion of this particular session that right there is where they're going to get after you, wherever they can. They're going to watch you. They're going to take constant surveillance over you. And wherever you open a door, and wherever you make provision for your flesh, in whatever area of your life you do your own thinking and don't surrender to Jesus Christ, that's where the demons are going to get you. And they are going to get you. Now, that's going to raise a question, and I'll answer it later on. Okay, now let me take just enough time. Let me take just enough time now to see if there's anybody that wants to ask any questions at this particular point. Did I say anything that caused any of you to raise some questions? If so, lift your hand and give me your question good and loud. I will repeat it for the tape's sake. Any question at all at this particular time? All right.
All right, Brother Stanford, would you go ahead and explain to us how you would set definite goals without saying that your way or the way you want it?
All right, now that's going to come out a lot later. But let me go. I will answer your question, but I do want it clearly understood now that there's going to be a lot of repetition in this, and it's going to be deliberate. I planned it to be repetitious because it's a known fact that you learn by repetition. You have to go over and over and over things until you get it down pat. All right, now his question is, how do you set certain goals without being selfish, right? All right, now that's the crux of the whole matter. Now way down here on my list, I've got to God's major plan for dealing with the devil. And the second point of it is the lordship of Christ. And the lordship of Christ is the opposite of the activity of demons. Paul said, and that's up here on the board, Romans 7:23. Paul said, I see a law warring in my members, bringing my mind into captivity. All right, the Word of God says that we are to have the mind of Christ. Now, my instruction to you is simply this. When you get ready to set goals, and you ought to have goals. Jesus didn't choose 12 disciples by accident. He went out looking for 12. He knew exactly what he wanted, and he got just what he wanted. And Jesus always had a goal, said he had a purpose in mind. He was always looking toward the cross. He knew what he was doing. All right, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ. Now, the thing you're to do is seek the mind of God, is to seek the mind of Christ. And you've got to have confidence to believe that you are the child of God. And that if you want to do that which God wants you to do, seek the way of God, seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, make sure that your life is committed to Christ and that Jesus is Lord of it, and then implement the weapons that I'm going to tell you about later on. And then the mind is free for the Lord to influence you instead of the devil. Now, there's another thing also. I'm going to share with you later on in the tape and later on in the study, I'm going to share with you how that you can test the spirits. The Bible says to test the spirit to see if they be of God. And the Bible says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Well, one of the ways you prove all things is to examine it in the light of the Scripture. Now, it doesn't take an honest person but about that long right there to decide if something is selfish or not. For instance, if you set a goal and you've just gotten up off your knees praying, I refuse to believe that you can get down on your knees and pray, now, Lord, I want my business, I want my life, I want my family to be committed to you. You guide me. And then you get up and you set a goal that is not of God. I refuse to believe that God will not say, oh, whoa, boy, wait right there now. That's not the way I want it. I don't believe God will command me to do something and then not give me the grace and wisdom and power with which to do it unless I'm copping out to start with. Now, if you're a fraud and a fake to start with, you're in double trouble. But if you really want Jesus to be Lord of your life, He will tell you what your goals are. He will, and they'll be realized. You'll have them before you ever see them. They'll be in essence before they ever become in reality. That answers your question pretty close? Okay. We'll have some more later on. All right? Does anyone else have a question? I've been talking about who the devil is, who the demons are, and what kind of work they do. I've been talking about those three things. And the work they do is to harass and intimidate a child of God. And they do it through circumstances. And if they know, if they know that there is some particular thing that's going to get your goat, your goat's going to be gotten. Excuse the bad English. If they know they can get your goat, they are going to get it. Heard somebody say the best way to keep the devil from getting your goat is don't let him know where you got it tied. Well, now there's a way to keep him from finding out. But if they know that certain things are going to get you upset and get you rattled, that's exactly what they're going to do. Any questions? All right, sir?
If demons are just pulling forth that pulling our life off that, Satan and demon do everything, when does Satan actually affect our lives?
He may never, directly. I doubt very seriously if any of us have ever literally faced the devil himself. I don't think I personally have ever faced the devil himself. I have two friends who think they have faced the devil personally, and they may have. And I may personally face him one of these days. But the orders are coming from headquarters. The demons receive their orders from the devil. And there is a complete system set up. I mean a complete system. This is going to blow your mind. But the devil has his workers organized to such an extent, now listen carefully to this, that there are head demons for every continent, head demons for every state or province in that continent, head demons for every county in that state, head demons for every city, town, and hamlet in that state, head demon for every voting precinct. They've taken over our voting precincts. Head demons over every family. And then worker demons that's working in that particular family to tear down every institution that God set up, government, home, and church. That's exactly the way the demons operate. You say, how do you know all that, Sam? I know it because I have gotten the information from demons themselves and have checked it out. And every other man that I know anything about who has dealt with demons and their reality has found the same thing out without us comparing notes. We both, all of us found it out just by conversation, by talking with them, and knowing that they are organized, to destroy everything that God ever set up. That's why that we're seeing our institutionalization fall apart on us. Because the demons are tearing down our belief in what the Word of God has to say. So you probably never faced the devil, literally, but you face demons every time you turn around. You face demons every time you turn around. And you're going to face them probably more effectively and more openly and more obviously tonight when you leave this place than you ever have in your life, because we've been talking about it. They're swirling outside right now in the air just mad as all hell, and I'm not being vulgar. They are as mad as all hell right now outside because we're in here talking about them and exposing them, and they know, and in case any of them doesn't know, I'm telling them now, and I want an angel to go out there and shout it to them, that I'm going to tell all of you people in just a little while how that Jesus Christ is the victor, not the victim of the demons, and we're not the victim of the devil. We're the victor over the devil. And that's coming. That information is coming. Dara? All right, I have dealt with people who have come to me. Jim, how much time do I have left? 2 minutes? All right. I have had people come to me with uncontrollable urges. And they said to me, I believe this is the devil in control of my life. And I have told them how they could get rid of the devil themselves. And I'll tell you that later. And they said, I tried that and it didn't work. So I followed the biblical pattern of admonishing my brother, strengthening my brother. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I took authority over the demons working in that person's life, commanded that demon to identify himself, and I have had voices literally come out of people saying to me who the demon was, giving me the name and the activity of everything that's going on, and I'll enlarge upon that at a later time as we go a little further, because I know that blows your mind, and I know you want to talk about it a little bit more, and it's not natural to want to believe such a thing as that.